The Bible reading is from Lamentations chapter 5, verses 1 to 22. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We've become fatherless, our mothers are widows. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can only be had at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Slaves rule over us, and there is no one to free us from their hands. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert. Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish from hunger. Women have been violated in Zion, and virgins in the towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. Young men toil at the millstones. Boys stagger under loads of wood. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim for Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling over it. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return to our days of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Amen.
Could we please have the top lights on, please? It's rather dark here.
Star of the Lord.
That's better. Right. Alan. You'll need to turn the yellow down a little bit, Keith, because I speak a bit louder and Rose does. That's about it. Can you all hear me okay? Can you hear me, Barbara?
Yes. That's it.
I'm glad most of the children are not here this morning, because as you saw from that reading, this part of the Bible is 18 plus. It really is descriptive and quite horrible. And Jeremiah was in a bit of state. Got a little bit of a picture of him there, being put to the picture of Jeremiah sitting over the ruins. Now the other one, please. That's it. Sitting over the ruins of Jerusalem. And he was feeling really sad. We follow on from John Kennett today, remembering the pleas and frustrations of Jeremiah. God's people were not listening to the prophecies and warnings he was giving. In Jeremiah, we see the preaching of God's servant rebuking Jerusalem of her sin that destroyed her. Describing graphically the terrible things that have taken place. That the Jews will be taken into exile for 70 years. We read in Jeremiah 25:11, which John shared with us, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. We change to the slide, please. You can just look up there, about Lamentations. Lamentations remind us of the importance not only of mourning over our sin, with asking the Lord for his forgiveness when we fail him. Thank you so much. Things were really good in Israel and Judah. So why should they listen to Jeremiah?
No.
They thought they were safe. Jeremiah thought that God would punish them for their sins. He knew that. And their wanton behaviour. He was very upset because he had great feelings for God's people. And didn't stop pleading with them right until the end. The Babylonians came, destroyed Jerusalem in the year 586 BC, and carried most of the people back to Babylon. They even destroyed the temple and stole all the precious items, leaving it bare, just a pile of stones. The city walls and gates were destroyed, leaving nothing of the great city Jerusalem once was. Jeremiah describes in detail, in Jeremiah 52, the end of Jerusalem. The carrying off of the riches, all the officials and well-educated people, leaving behind the poor to look after the vineyards and farms. The Jews could not believe what was happening to them. They were God's special people, protected by him. They thought that God's promises had failed and that he no longer cared for them. They had disregarded all the warnings that had been given by Jeremiah and others. How could this happen to them? Where were the Jews taken? Babylonia today is no longer called Babylonia, but Iraq. The city of Babylon is now called Baghdad. It is in the middle of a fertile land called Mesopotamia, land between the two rivers, the Euphrates and Tigris. I actually learned that at school. As John Kennett informed us, Jeremiah was highly unpopular. As his words were mostly negative, and he had to spend a lot of his life hiding. But God gave him strength. Now we can move forward to the book of Lamentations, probably written at the time of the fall, about the years 586 to 587 BC, just so we know where we are. Jeremiah had previously written a lamentation on the death of his king and friend Josiah in 609 BC. Josiah was a good and just king, and Jeremiah was very upset, and this was the start of his lamentations, the way he actually pleaded with God. In 2 Chronicles, going right back now, 35:25, Jeremiah composed laments for Josiah. And to this day, all the male and female singers commemorate Josiah in the laments. These became a tradition in Israel, are written in the laments. Lamentation has been called the following book of the book of Jeremiah. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, says, "And it came to pass, after Israel was taken captive and Jerusalem made desolate, that Jeremiah sat weeping, lamented this lamentation over Jerusalem." I personally have always found this very confusing. All these descriptions about Jerusalem and Judah. We must remember, however, that the Jewish nation was split into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. They were both conquered and taken into exile. Jeremiah was left behind during the exile, and lamentations, the descriptions of his prayers of anguish are described. This was written before Jeremiah was himself taken into exile by his fellow citizens to Egypt. This was against God's commands, but many citizens escaped to Egypt, even though God told them not to. Jeremiah 43:7. "So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tampines." Now the book of Lamentations consists, I'm sure, of a lot of letters sent to the people in exile, hoping to bring them to repentance and for God to allow their return. The book is split into five chapters, consisting of five poems. Now in the past, I have always found in the Bible these poems very difficult to read and really didn't really understand how important they were. And it's only over the last few weeks, knowing that I had to share this and learn about this, that I realised how important Lamentations is. The five chapters, the fate and destruction of Jerusalem, the anger of God, the prayer for mercy, the siege of Jerusalem, and the prayer of restoration. In his sorrow, Jeremiah speaks for himself, sometimes for the captives, some 900 miles away in Babylon. Sometimes he speaks for the destroyed city. In chapter 1, Jeremiah describes in detail the destruction of a great city, the famine that followed, the realization of the sins previously committed. But even though all this states how the Lord is righteous, even though the people rebelled against his commands. Lamentations 1:18. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look on my suffering. My young men and young women have gone into exile. Jeremiah asked the Lord to deal with this wickedness and sin, even his own sin. It's difficult sometimes when pages stick together, isn't it? Mind you, that would have meant I went to the last page. In chapter 2 comes a description of God's anger at his people against a detail. It's clearly described of what happened, and that the Lord's people have been cut off and abandoned by him. Jeremiah stated his sorrow at these events, realizing the words of the prophets had been completely ignored. But there were prophets that were false. We've got to remember that. He knew that all this was God's plan. But this didn't stop him weeping about it. He still expresses his thoughts on how the people complained unjustifiably. He is still upset about the famine and people facing into cannibalism. God has made great retribution on his people. We'll follow the comes to that later. And that is actually in the scriptures. Lamentations 2:20 to 21. Look, Lord, and consider. Whom have you even ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie together in the dust of the streets. My young men and young women have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without pity. Chapter 3, Jeremiah prays earnestly for mercy. Give the people ways of repentance with a set of instructions. But even though through this, realizing he's still very unpopular, he has great compassion. But ask the Lord for further punishment on those who still sin. Lamentations 4:10. With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children, who became their food when our people were destroyed. This is in the scriptures. The terrible things that happened in Jerusalem after the fall. He carries on relaying the reasons for his punishment, the sin of the people. Chapter 5, Jeremiah prays for the restoration of his people, praising God and listing the terrible things his people are going through. Now, Jeremiah would have lived long enough to see the return from the exile. God kept his promise exactly 70 years when the Persians invaded Babylon and allowed the Jews to start returning to their lands. The Babylonians were themselves conquered. They started rebuilding the temple before anything else, without thinking about their safety, as gangs of criminals, etc., would attack them regularly. This is why another reason why the Bible is very difficult at times to understand. Because we have to go a long way back in the Bible to see what happened next. The book of Jeremiah is a long way back, like Chronicles. But this Jeremiah is forward. Jeremiah asked his brother what was going on in Jerusalem and was very upset at the events taking place and lack of security. He asked King Antaxerxes if he could return and rebuild the city walls to make the city safe, which he was allowed to do. So things really didn't place in right order, did they? But God had a plan. His temple was to be rebuilt first, even though the people that were rebuilding it were attacked all the time. And then coming along, Nehemiah, who really, when he went to Jerusalem, saw what a mess it was in, and asked Artaxerxes if he could go back and rebuild Jerusalem, starting from the walls and the gates, which he did. Nehemiah is a fantastic book of the Bible, and I really recommend you read it. It really is interesting. Move away from that. Jesus himself knew that the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Matthew 23:37-39. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until I say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. On AD 70, August the 10th, the very day in 586 BC, the king of Babylon burned the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. The Romans burnt the recently rebuilt temple and destroyed Jerusalem. With the destruction of Jerusalem, the prophecy of Jesus that no stone would be left upon another was fulfilled. The gold of the temple melted when the temple itself was burned and flowed into the cracks between stone pavers. Soldiers tore the stones apart to retrieve the gold, fulfilling Jesus' prophecy. The menorah and other vessels of the temple were taken to Rome, and the treasury was robbed. As the prophet Daniel had predicted, the temple was destroyed after the Messiah had presented himself to Israel. This was shown in Daniel 9:26 and Luke 19:41-45. I hope that sometime you look these up. What does this mean to us today? It's a long time ago, wasn't it? We're talking about 2,500 plus years ago. What does it mean? Why are we looking at it? Why is this so relevant? Why was Jesus so upset about destroying of Jerusalem? Jesus was upset because his people were still sinning. Jesus was upset because they weren't turning to the Father through him. But this is a real warning to us today. The population of this earth are moving further and further away from the love of God. Most people do not recognize or know him at all, or even heard of him. Is sin keeping us away from the love of God? I have some questions. Just think in your hearts. I'm going to have a little break after each question. Are we committed to our Saviour Jesus Christ in everything in our lives? Do we know that he is with us in everything we do? Think. Don't say anything, please. Just think. Are we heading for worse destruction than that happened all those years ago? Think of all the things that are happening in the world today. The wars are breaking out all over the world. Global warming. Such terrible things are happening everywhere. Such injustice, lack of peace, greed, corruption, all over the world. There's another question that's important. I'm thinking to myself, and I really believe this. Are the things described in Revelations starting to come to pass? And I believe they are. And I believe it's not going to be long before our Saviour Jesus Christ returns. And are we ready? Are we really ready when he comes back? Are we going to listen to God's word today and change our lives? The people of Jerusalem didn't. Look what happened to them. If you read Revelations, if we don't listen to God's word today, look at the things that could happen to us. So what are we prepared to do to change our lives and to become one with him? Are we prepared to make things different in our lives? Are we prepared to open our hearts to him? I'm sure most of us have asked Jesus into our lives. But how many of us really know that he is with us in everything we do? He's in our hearts. When we pray, the conversation is between us and God through our Saviour Jesus. So if we don't pray, we're not actually talking to God or listening to him. We had a Bible study on Wednesday on prayer from Colossians. And we should really be listening to God. Sorry, Friday we had that prayer. We should really be listening to God as well as talking to him. We can all turn our lives around and be that bit different. We can be more loving to each other, especially. We can believe that God's word, the Bible, is really inspired, as in Ephesians, the inspired word of God. I think that's in Ephesians 6, if I've got it right. That's off the, without looking it up. Really, you would tell me. Is that right, Rini?
I'll look it up.
So we should be reading our Bibles regularly. I found in the last week something I really didn't know about a part of the Bible. That was Lamentations. I did not know how important it was. I didn't know about all the prayers that Jeremiah was making. Not just for the people of Jerusalem, for the people today. He was looking ahead. He wanted people to come to as one with God. He was so sad about the terrible things that happened. And those terrible things are happening today, and that prayer is very apt for us today. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we just bless and praise you. We thank you for your presence here with us today. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will now, right now, as I pray, Lord, will flow right through this church and touch each and every one of us, Lord, so we know the love of Jesus within our hearts. We will know without a shadow of doubt you are Lord and Saviour. Oh, please, dear Lord, change our lives. Help us change our lives, please, dear Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. One today, I'm afraid, but he is happy in the thought that Jesus is with us. And if we just do those little things, our lives are safe. Perhaps not in this world, but we will not lose our lives completely. We gain a new life in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.